Thank you for joining today's podcast. Today we continue our series entitled Discover Your Spiritual Gift. Today we will talk about how to develop your spiritual gift. The purpose of this series is to help us all understand the importance of discovering, developing, and deploying the spiritual gifts God has given faithful believers so we can use those gifts to benefit the church and community. Our text today comes from 2 Timothy 1 and 6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of hands. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now in the humblest manner that we know how, asking that you will open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings that we don't even have room enough to be able to receive, that you will decrease us and increase you, that your word will not return void, and that we will not leave this podcast the same way that we came. We ask these things in your precious and holy name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody remember Popeye the Sailor? It was that comic strip that debuted in January of 1929. Popeye was originally just one of the many characters in a comic series. The other characters were Popeye's great love, the anorexic-looking Olive Oil, the attractive Betty Boop, and Popeye's arch-nemesis, another much bigger sailor named Bluto. Popeye's undying love for Olive Oil persists throughout the sailor's career. In spite of Olive Oil's obvious unattractiveness and her lack of emotional appeal towards Popeye. In the Popeye comics and cartoons, Olive insults and berates Popeye regularly. Anybody ever had a friend, a girlfriend, boyfriend like that? Is unfaithfully, routinely, oh Lord, and in general treats him very poorly. The main plot of the show is that Popeye does what he can to show the unattractive Olive Oil his undying love. When anyone messes with Olive Oil, Popeye eats spinach, and once Popeye eats the spinach, he becomes far stronger than he was, and he is able to defeat whatever is causing harm to Olive Oil. I grew up with that cartoon. I wonder now if that cartoon was a metaphor for life, and I wonder if it was also useful for us to understand how to develop our spiritual gifts. Popeye had a mission. Show Olive Oil that he loved her unconditionally. The Gospel of John says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Next, Olive Oil was far less attractive than Betty Boop, but Popeye did not get distracted. Unconditional love can see the awful condition of this world and still do what we can to help without getting distracted by the things that will cause us to miss our purpose. Don't be distracted. Not only was Olive Oil skinny and unattractive, but she was emotionally unavailable for Popeye. Sounds like some of our relationships. Although these might not be good ingredients for a successful Christian marriage, this is an example of what the Apostle Paul told the Romans when he said, God proved his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When trouble came to Olive Oil, Popeye did not remember all of the times Olive Oil refused his love. Aren't you glad that God doesn't hold us accountable for the times we refused his love? Instead, Popeye, like Jesus did for us, jumped into the fight on the behalf of the one he loved so much. God looked past our faults to see our needs. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't look at my faults, but he saw my needs. Popeye also didn't try to fight his enemy alone. He allowed his natural strength to be aided by spinach. I just had some spinach the other day. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Spinach will not defeat our enemies. We will need the weapons of the Word of God, the Holy Ghost, love, power, and a sound mind. As a quick recap to the introduction of this series, Paul said in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. A spiritual gift is an endowment by God to his children to be used to the benefit of the church and the community. I hope you are digging up and developing your spiritual gift. In today's text, we understand better why Paul was trying to say, but before we evaluate the text, let's understand the context. Paul had a special relationship with Timothy. Bible scholars believe Paul may have seen in young Timothy what Paul desired for his own life at a younger age. If Paul had not spent his younger years persecuting people that believed in Jesus, Paul had natural talents and abilities as a leader, but he was leading the wrong efforts. Anybody can identify with Paul? Paul knew of Jesus, but was a fundamentalist. Paul was adamant in his opposition to any new form of religion or theology. Do sometimes you look back over your life and you say, why did it take me so long to get it, to understand who Jesus was and who God is and that he takes care of us? There was a special relationship between Paul and Timothy. Paul said to Timothy, every time I say your name in prayer, which is practically all the time, I thank God for you. The God I worship with my whole life in the tradition of my ancestors, I often reflect on our last tearful goodbye, and I look forward to a joy-packed reunion. Any of you out there have a mentor that's in your life, a mentee that's in your life? This was the relationship between Paul and Timothy. It was a mentor-mentee relationship. I have a mentor by the name of Deborah Oates, and I often so admire her and the grace that she takes in teaching and guiding and leading me, and the love that she shares for me and with me. Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, and in the letter, Paul told Timothy to develop your spiritual gift. In 2 Timothy 1, from Paul the mentor to Timothy the mentee, this is what Paul says. He was on special assignment for Christ, carrying out God's purpose for his life. Paul said the purpose for his life was laid out by the life of Jesus. Aren't you glad that we don't have to go blindly, but Jesus has left us a roadmap to be able to follow? It is incredibly important to carry out or stir up, get your spoons out, the gifts God has given us so we can live on purpose in this life for him. I want you to understand that your gift defines the purpose God has for you during a season. Sometimes our gifts will change depending on the season. Everyone should discover their spiritual gift, but what good is discovering a gift if you don't develop it? We want everyone walking in their purpose, not just identifying their purpose. My hope is that each of us would be stimulated to discover our gift, motivated to develop our gift, and activated to deploy our gift. There is more than one way to discover your spiritual gift. As mentioned last week, you should consider taking an assessment, such as the one I shared from gifttest.com. I did that on last week. In order to discover your spiritual gift, discovering your spiritual gift will help you know what needs to be developed. How can we develop our spiritual gift? Point number two. In 2 Timothy, Paul said, God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts, but bold, loving, and sensible. Paul says to Timothy, don't be embarrassed to speak up for our master or for me, his prisoner. Take your share of suffering for the message, also with the rest of us. We can only keep going after all by the power of God, who first saved us, then called us to his holy work. Once you become aware of your spiritual gift, you will be in a position to begin developing them, to begin using them more effectively, frequently, creatively, skillfully, and purposefully. Let's parse out what Paul was saying. To develop your spiritual gifts, do the following. Accept responsibility for your gift. Accept responsibility for your gift. I had to say that twice. It's not enough to be aware that you have a gift. It is not enough to discover you have a gift. It is also important to develop your gift. The admonishment here is to be responsible in the way you treat others. Paul said to be loving and sensible. In other words, it is irresponsible to have the gift of leadership and forget we all have a mandate to love one another. It is responsible to have the gift of hospitality and never allow someone time to themselves. I remember once I was a guest speaker out of state for a church convention and went to the hospitality committee picked me up from the airport. They proceeded to show me all of the beautiful things in their city. That was absolutely wonderful. However, they were so caring, so compassionate, so loving, so hospitable that they fed me, they showed me around, we had great laughter, great conversation, but they almost forgot to take me to the hotel to get rest and allow me to get ready for my presentation. Furthermore, Paul admonishes us when developing our gift to seek encouragement and feedback from trusted friends and leaders. This is how you take your share of the suffering. Take inventory of the opportunities available to you for using your gift. Speak up for our master. Be available. Figure out how you can use what God has given you to serve the church and community. Ask the pastor. Talk to a trusted mentor. Most importantly, listen to and read the Word of God. Take time to learn from those who are more experienced in the area of your gift. We are many members, but one body. We are all trying to live effectively for Jesus. You better ask somebody. Plan your life considering the gifts God has given you. Keep going by the power of God. It's only God's power that will sustain you through the suffering. As you are taking these steps, strive to arrive at a point where you can help others discover their gifts, because one day there should be a mentee coming behind you that will ask you the questions that I just presented. There's no need to do this until you are strong enough in your own understanding of your spiritual gift. Once you can help others, do so with humility. By doing so, you are accomplishing a large portion of what God has called us to do. Finally, point number 3. Why should we develop our spiritual gifts? Because Paul was correct when he said, we had nothing to do with it. Let me repeat that one more time. The gift that you have, we had nothing to do with it. It was all God's idea, a gift prepared for us in Jesus long before we knew anything about it. It's like when I'm going home to South Carolina and my mom already knows the things that I desire and my mom already knows the things that I need. And when I get there, usually the stuff that I have left because I was packing too quickly, she already has extras for me. Pajamas, toothpaste, toothbrush, already waiting for me. Not only that, there's usually some bacon, egg, and rice already cooked. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't even make a request, but she already knew. That's the same thing that God does for us. It's all God's idea, a gift prepared for us in Jesus long before we knew anything about it. But now we know it. Since the appearance of our Savior, nothing could be plainer. Death defeated, life vindicated, and a steady blaze of light all through the work of Jesus. Paul said, this is the message I've been set apart to proclaim as a preacher, missionary, and teacher. It's also the cause of all the trouble I'm in, but I have no regrets. I couldn't be more sure of my ground. Sometimes once you begin to really understand your gift and operate in your gift, here comes trouble. But Paul says, the one I've trusted in can take care of what he's trusted me to do right to the end. But oh, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. So keep at your work. This faith and love rooted in Christ, exactly as I set it out for you. It's a sound as the day you first heard it from me. Guard this precious thing placed in your custody by the Holy Ghost who works in us. As I stated and shared the last few weeks over the course of this series, I want to share some of what author Don Cousin extrapolated as definitions from Paul's list of spiritual gifts in the Bible. I want to share with you just a few more of those spiritual gifts now. The gift of serving. It's when people enjoy doing practical and necessary tasks that support and build up the body of Christ. Often, these people work behind the scenes, finding satisfaction not in being recognized, but in knowing that their gift made a difference in the ministry of the church. I think of Sister Stephanie. She loves to serve. People with this gift tend to do whatever is called for at that time and may do tasks others will not. Some people with this gift may prefer to work alone. Others may wish to work in a group. The next gift I want to share with you is the gift of shepherding. It is the divine ability to nurture, care for, and guide people toward ongoing spiritual maturity and growth. People with this gift lead groups of people, take responsibility to nurture individuals in their spiritual walk, provide guidance and oversight, model the Christian life. The gift of shepherding assumes a long-term relationship with others and a long-time personal commitment to the spiritual welfare of others. I have to say that our state bishop, Bishop Clary K. Butler Sr., has the gift of shepherding. He has a divine ability to nurture and to care for and to guide people. Sometimes even when they throw it back at him, he still keeps loving, still keeps nurturing, still keeps caring for, still keeps guiding them. And then there's the gift of tongues. It is the ability to speak and to worship or pray in a language unknown to the speaker, but to God. People with this gift may receive a spontaneous message from God that is made known to the church through the gift of interpretation. They are known to worship the Lord with words too deep for the mind to comprehend and experience an intimacy with God that inspires them to serve God and others. And then there is the gift of interpretation. The divine ability to make known to the body of Christ the message of one who is speaking in tongues. These people understand an unlearned language and communicate that message to the body of Christ. Often prophetic, their message glorifies God and brings a timely message to others. Then there is the gift of wisdom. Wisdom gives a person insight into how certain knowledge should be applied to specific needs. People with this gift have an understanding of what is necessary to meet the needs of the church, provide a divinely given solution in the midst of conflict, and hear the Spirit provide direction in a given situation. I'm so grateful for our state elder, E.J. Lucas. He is one that brings us the gift of wisdom as he's taken us through leadership training and other things. He has an understanding of what is necessary to meet the needs of the church and provide a divinely given solution in the midst of conflict. I'm so glad that we have an understanding of some of these additional gifts that Paul spoke of in the Word of God. Can you imagine how God will feel when the people he gave the gift to use it to build the kingdom of God? In other words, imagine the possibilities for the church and community once people with this gift discover that they have it. Develop your spiritual gift. How can you develop your spiritual gift? You better ask somebody. Why should you develop your spiritual gift? Because it was given to you by God. It wasn't something that you designed yourself, and we had nothing to do with it. If you will bow your heads in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now in the humblest manner that we know how, thanking you, God, for the word that you've given us on today, the gifts that you placed in us that we had nothing to do with it. But God, we receive them and we will care for them. And for those of us, God, right now that are still in a bit of immaturity and don't realize the gifts that we have, don't appreciate the gifts that we have, allow us to have that maturity that we will have a nurturing of that gift, that we will hold it precious, that we will value the gifts that you have placed in our lives, and that we will use them for your glory, that we will stir up those gifts, that they will not lie dormant, but we will be able to go forth and reach the world with the gift that we have. Lord God, that you will be able to look back on us and see that we have used the gift that you gave us for the building coming of your kingdom, and that the impossible will become possible because we have used our gifts. God, we ask right now that you will look on the sick and shut in, that you will look on the unemployed and underemployed, that you will look on those in isolation and depression, that you will look on those that are experiencing a detachment right now from their family and their friends, and God, that you will bring them comfort. Lord, there are those that are incarcerated and still going through. God, there are those that are not guilty, but they've been found guilty. There are those that are still in the middle of racial unrest. And God, we ask for complete reconciliation. God, we ask right now that you will just begin to allow your hand to be shown in every single situation. For small businesses that are going out of business, God, that you will allow them to be made stable. And Lord God, for those that as we are in the middle of this season, as we're sitting, allow us to be able to hear you. Allow us to be able to see you. Allow us to be able to feel you and to stir up the gift that is on the inside of us. We ask these things in your precious and holy name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.